So let us pray. I'm using the prayer from this Sunday's link. Lord, sometimes I need to grow up and stop playing games. Show me your way of true freedom. I pray and make me fruitful in the Spirit, to the glory of your name. Amen. I've called this talk Growing Up and Going Forward, and it very much hinges around my own growth moments, so please forgive me if it comes across as all about me. My hope is that by sharing my experiences, it will touch a chord with someone here and may be helpful to them. Growing. We've all done it. From before we are born, we are measured and compared to a national average. The thigh bone is the one that's often used as an indicator of normal growth. And when I was young, the school nurse measured one's height and recorded it at various stages and ages. I was pretty much the tallest in my class at junior school, and I'd reached my height potential by the age of 13. Now, DNA plays a part in how tall we will be. It's sort of predetermined, except that nutrition also plays a part. I did look up a whole load of statistics about this. It still holds true now that the better nourished you are, the more likelihood you are of gaining normal height. I was reminded of Sophie's tree. I think I talked about this before. My youngest grandchild, who found a pip in her apple and told us that it could become an apple tree. So we planted it in a little pot outside the back door. We planted it in nourishing compost. It grew, frankly, very much to our surprise. It survived the harsh frosts and soon needed a bigger pot for its roots to spread out and hold it firm. By early spring, it had not just leaves, but many small branches. It's now in an even bigger pot, and it stands as high as my chin, about 5'2". And who knows, in time, it may even bear fruit. Being well nourished is key to growth, both spiritually as well as physically. The word grow also appears in our church's statement of intent. We aim to grow believers. On the 15th of May, Word Live Daily Notes had this as its title: Grow Up, Child. And the Bible passage that followed was Hebrews 5, verse 11. I found myself reflecting on this over and over. It seemed to have so much in it that God wanted me to know. So I'm going to read that passage now. We have much to say to you about this matter, but it is hard to explain to you because you are so slow to understand. There has been enough time for you to be teachers, yet you still need someone to teach you the first lessons of God's message. Instead of eating solid food, you still have to drink milk. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a child, without any experience in the matter of right and wrong. Solid food, on the other hand, is for adults, who through practice are able to distinguish between good and evil. Let us go forward then to mature teaching and leave behind us the first lessons of the Christian message. We should not lay again the foundations of turning away from useless works and believing in God, of the teaching about baptisms and the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. Let us go forward. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This epistle or letter written to the Hebrews has an unknown author, but there are similarities with Paul's letters to the early Christian churches. Hebrews is written particularly to Jews who had converted to Christianity during the first century. These readers would have been very well read in the Old Testament histories, and the main purpose of this letter is to show how Christ is the fulfillment of those prophecies. The author is very aware that without deeper teaching in the Christian faith, they are close to slipping back into Judaism. They're still measuring by human standards. Deeper teaching will nourish their faith and help them to grow and mature. The reading says, anyone who has to drink milk is still a child, without any experience in the matter of right and wrong. Growing up isn't easy. There's hard learning ahead of us before we reach adulthood. My early years were full of freedom. My generation were very fortunate in that respect. The contrast is huge with the possibilities of freedom for today's youngsters. There were rules, of course, and I can remember kicking against those rules. At the time, they seemed to be deliberately designed to curb my freedom. Freedom I thought was mine by right. I remember the unfairness of parental edicts, which I now, as an adult, appreciate were put there to keep me safe. I thank the Lord for good parenting, now I've grown, as I can now see that as a youngster, I was blithely unaware of the consequences of my actions and sailed pretty close to the wind on more than one occasion. As it says in our reading, a child without any experience in the matter of right and wrong. By my late teens, I still clung to the idea that freedom to go my way was my right. I had a Christian background, but had not really grown my faith by any significant measure at all. Today's reading urges us to go forward to mature teaching. Now, mature teaching sometimes uses theological language, which, quite honestly, I find very difficult to follow. And I guess in this respect, I'm a bit like those early Christians. As Paul writes to the church in Corinth, as a matter of fact, my brothers, I could not talk to you as though you belonged to the Spirit. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world, as children in the Christian faith. Now, I can look up words I don't understand. I can read what others have written. But for me, at least, I find the real growing, the full impact of spiritual growth, happens when I'm led by God's Spirit. Spiritual growth is not remote. It doesn't happen necessarily in books. And when it happens, you'll know it. It might take the form of discipline. Not discipline as punishment, but discipline to reform. For a while, I have been puzzled by the term discernment. Now, I knew what it meant in the dictionary sense of the word, the ability to choose between what is true and right and what is false and wrong, but not necessarily how to apply this in my life as a Christian. As I reflected over the weeks on that scripture reading, I also happened to listen to prayer for today. I don't know if any of you catch that. You can catch up. I don't listen at 6 o'clock in the morning. And I was delighted to hear that the whole week had been given to links between a prose poem called Desiderata and its links to the presenter's Christian journey. And the poem begins like this. Go placidly amid the noise and the haste, and remember what peace there may be in silence. Now, I first came across this whole poem, Desiderata, while I was at college. Some of you may remember it. It was the early 70s, and this poem made it into the hit parade. Its theme of how to live a good life chimed in with the movement of love and peace following protests against the war in Vietnam and calls for nuclear disarmament. I found its sentiment worthy, It was like a good life guide. And I learnt the whole thing off by heart. No mean feat for someone with a notoriously bad memory. Later, when my children were born, I spoke it to each one of my daughters as the first words they heard. For many years, it was displayed on the door of our bathroom. One of my daughters recalls learning just the two first stanzas off by heart, as this was the whole length of time she spent in the bathroom. I wondered whether this was what I should share with you in my talk. I reread more of Max Ehrmann's poetry, and a gradual sense of unease caused me to look deeper into this. Although the presenter on the radio seemed quite comfortable with the link she was making with her Christian journey, somehow it wasn't sitting right with me. I just prayed, "Show me." I had thought this piece of poetry was the perfect life guide, something worthy of passing on. Yet, like the newly converted Hebrew Christians, I still needed someone to show me the first lessons of God's message. I wasn't trusting in God's gift of His Spirit, in this case, the gift of discernment. As our reading says, for adults who through practice are able to distinguish between good and evil. It was a growth moment for me, understanding discernment, seeing desiderata as a humanistic guide for moral living, certainly not evil, but not Christ-led either. So I'm going to finish with a few questions that I pondered you might like to think about too. I think we all have a need of a sort of spiritual growth chart. So have you checked your growth lately? Have you provided the nourishment to foster growth? Prayer, Bible reading, quiet time. Have you used your spiritual fruits to bring encouragement to new seeds? Fruits of kindness, love, patience. Giving ourselves space to listen to God's good guidance, to use His gifts of the Spirit, is the way to grow, so that we become more than children who need to be spoon-fed. We're designed to be Christians who grow up, who go forward and become fruitful in the Spirit to our God's praise and glory. Amen.